Well, good evening.
Really good
to be here this evening. My first time here at Hebron. Probably not so surprising. I still class myself as a new boy in Aberdeen. You'll guess from my accent, I don't hail from these parts. 2 years ago, my wife and I and our two little ones, they were little 2 years ago, moved up from Caterham in Surrey, just south of London, to serve as part of the pastoral team at Deeside. So a major move for our little family. But we sensed God leading us north. Had to get on a map and find out how far north we were actually coming. But we did sense God leading us, and we're really glad to be part of the Deeside team. So it's good to be here with you. Do turn back with me to Psalm 131. I wonder if it's a completely new psalm to you. Maybe it is. Maybe you've never heard a talk on Psalm 131. Trust it will be a huge encouragement to you this evening. As you're turning there, a couple of images are coming up on the screen, I hope. Let me just ask you a question to tune our minds into the theme of this psalm. As you look at these two pictures, which one of them best or most accurately resembles the state of your heart this evening, I wonder? If we had a window into each one of our hearts that everyone here tonight could peer through, what is it they would see? Would they see a quiet, still, peaceful heart tonight? Or would they see something rather different? Would they see a noisy, anxious, restless heart? I think we all long to have a quiet heart, don't we? A peaceful heart. If I'm honest, the last couple of weeks, my heart's been far from that. There's been a restlessness in my heart. So Psalm 131 has been a very, very good place for me to be. Because in Psalm 131, David says that he has quietened his heart. It comes right in the middle of the psalm, if that verse could come up on the screen. He's learnt to calm and quieten his heart. It's beautiful, precious. And he tells us in the rest of the psalm the secret to a quiet heart. So I hope that whets your appetite just a little bit this evening. Psalm 131 is one of the shortest psalms in the Bible. It's coming on the screen. The whole thing fits on one screen. Just three verses. Just takes about 30 seconds to read it. But perhaps it's one of the longest psalms to really learn and learn to live out in our lives. But if we do learn the lesson of Psalm 131 tonight and in the days of this week, the benefits, the fruit is enormous, really. It's a precious, precious psalm. So David's learned to quieten his heart. And the image he gives us to describe his heart is right in the middle of the psalm. Verse 2. Here it is. It's a familiar image and a really helpful one. He says, this is the English Standard Version on the screen. He says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. It's a helpful picture, isn't it? I guess most of us have seen a nursing child before the weaning process is completed. When that hungry child sits on his mother's lap, it's quite a scene sometimes, isn't it? I remember those days. The child can become quite agitated. He starts to squirm anxiously. If he's not going to get immediate satisfaction, then it's going to get pretty noisy, isn't it, quite soon? Because his mother's milk means, what does it mean? It means life, it means health, it means satisfaction. And those responses of a little child, they're just childish versions of some of the negative emotions that can destroy us as adults. Anxiety, anger, frustration, discontentment. But then look at that same child after he has been successfully weaned, and it's a very different picture. A dramatic change has taken place. Now this child can sit on his mother's lap peacefully. Quiet, content, no longer tugging away at his mother's clothing. And David here in the psalm says, well, that is a picture of my heart. It's quiet. It's still. satisfied. I don't know about you, but I long for that. So what is the secret, David? That's what I'm wanting to ask him when I read verse 2. Well, let's be clear first what it's not. David has not quieted his heart because he's got a collection of those keep calm and ... mugs. You know the ones? You've seen them? Keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and drink coffee. Keep calm and eat biscuits, whatever your thing is, your tonic. His heart is not quiet either because he has escaped from the noise and the pressure. It's not as if David has gone off on holiday and found an idyllic desert island. It's tempting to think like that, isn't it? Especially this time of year. I mean, this time next week, I shall be with my entire family, actually, from the south. They're all coming up to some cottages in the Highlands, and finally, some real peace. That's what we think, don't we, this time of year. And of course, a break, getting away, is helpful. But we're going to see tonight that is not the answer for a restless spirit. David hasn't escaped. I mean, David's king. David was king of Israel, wasn't he? So think about that for a moment. As king, he would have a hefty in-tray. Weighty responsibilities. Lots of uncertainties. David knew what it was to have enemies at his gate. David knew what it was to fail God in a big way. He knew what it was to have a family that was so dysfunctional that his own son wanted to kill him. He knew what it was to be on the run for his life month after month as Saul pursued him. He knew what it was to face giant-sized problems, literally, didn't he? So David hasn't escaped. And this is one of the Psalms of Ascent. You look at your Bible there, you'll see just above the top of the Psalm, it's got a Psalm of Ascents. In other words, this is one of those 15 psalms that are grouped together near the end of the psalms that God's people would sing as they made the journey up to the holy city, up to Jerusalem. And that was a journey full of difficulty, full of danger and temptation. You may know one of those psalms of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? What's the connection? Looking to the hills, suddenly I need help. Well, the hills were where the danger was, where the bandits were coming from. The hills were where the false gods had their sacrifices. That's where the temptations are coming from. Lord, I need help on the journey. This is a song of ascent. And yet, in the middle of the journey, the perilous journey, David can say, my heart is still. A quiet heart in the midst of the pressure and the difficulties and the uncertainty. So what's the secret, David, to a quiet heart? Well, his answer is twofold, two parts to it. There's something we need to stop doing in verse 1, something we need to start doing in verse 3, and you can't really start doing the thing before you stop doing the other thing. Very simple, two sides of the same coin. So firstly, David says in verse 1, stop looking to and trusting yourself. Verse 1, he says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. The NIV sums it up very simply and helpfully, I am not proud. Now that's where he starts this psalm. A psalm all about stilling his restless heart. And it's worth pausing there, isn't it? Have you ever considered that your anxiety and your restlessness and your disquiet might be linked not just to the circumstances around you, but actually to your pride? Interesting. That the real issue might not just be out there, but it might be in here. Isn't it striking how the psalm begins? O Lord, my heart. That's where we need to focus. And the reason we need to focus on our hearts is because the Lord Jesus said that it's out of our hearts that everything comes. Your words, Your actions, your emotional reactions, actually they come from what's going on in your heart. And if my heart is the issue, going on holiday is not going to fix my anxiety, is it? Because I'm going to take my heart with me. My proud heart. What is pride? C.S. Lewis spoke about it, he wrote about it, and he pictured pride as being like a telescope turned round the wrong way. So pride makes God look distant and insignificant, and it makes me, it makes us look all important and self-sufficient, which is a lie, isn't it? We are not at the center of the world. We do not have all that we need to have. Most problems are way too big for us to sort out. And when we look at our meager, insignificant resources to fix them, what's the result? It is anxiety. It's restlessness in our hearts. In contrast, look what David says, verse 1. He says, I don't occupy or concern myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. I know my limits, says David. But often we do, don't we? We get so concerned and wrapped up with things way too big for us. And we get uptight about how we are going to sort those things out rather than looking to the all-sufficient one. So David says, a restless heart is linked to pride often, an overinflated view of self. And that theme, that link, runs right through the Bible. Let's push it a bit further. Think about pride in your heart. What's right at the center of a proud heart? Well, it's simply this. It's a desire to see my kingdom come and my will be done. Rather than longing that, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, here's the problem. If I'm living for my kingdom, when I think what should be happening isn't happening, when my will is not being done, when someone is blocking that or some circumstance is threatening that, whether it's illness or traffic or a child that won't go to sleep when they're supposed to go to sleep, what happens? Well, my heart becomes frustrated and restless. And what it is, it's pride. My world is being disrupted. My dreams are being disappointed. I'm not feeling in control anymore. I can't fix it. I can't sort it out. So I fret, I panic, I get angry and irritable. Can you relate to any of that? The problem's in here. Jesus made exactly the same connection in Matthew chapter 6. Many of us will know Matthew 6 well. We often turn there because Jesus speaks at length, doesn't he, about worry. Do not worry. But have you ever noticed what Jesus speaks about immediately before that section on worry? He speaks about your heart. He speaks about treasure. What is the treasure in your heart? What are you and I living for? Is it God's kingdom or is it our own shrunken little kingdom? And then he says, therefore, there's a linking word, do not worry about what you'll eat, drink, what you'll wear, and so on. It's the same link between a proud heart, a self-seeking heart with me at the center and an anxious, restless, noisy heart. So David says, verse 1, he says, I've learned to stop looking to me, to self, and trusting my resources. I've learned to be weaned off me being at the center of everything. Now, hear me right. I'm not suggesting tonight that all anxiety, all the things you might be worried about tonight are linked to pride in your heart. But I do think it's there more often than we might like to think it is. Be worth praying tonight if there's anxiety gripping you. Lord, search me. Would you search me, try me, my anxious thoughts? Is there any offensive way in me? So that's the first secret of a quiet heart. Stop trusting self. Let's flip the coin over. The positive second part of the secret of a quiet heart. David says we must learn to start trusting the Lord. Verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. You can see what he's saying. Quite simple, isn't it? Turn your gaze away from yourself and start gazing at the Lord. Start looking to him. Start trusting in him. Start hoping in him. We've got to do that. We don't have what it takes to quieten our hearts. But if we will turn and look to him, we will discover that the one who said, "Be still," to the raging sea can actually bring quiet and peace and contentment to our hearts too. Now notice in verse 3 there, David doesn't actually use the word God, does he, in verse 3? And that's significant. What does he say? He says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord." Lord, large case, L-O-R-D. And whenever you see that in the Old Testament, you know it's God's personal name, the name he used to reveal himself to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. Yahweh in Hebrew, or Jehovah. Precious, precious name, simply means I am. Which sounds very strange, doesn't it, to have as a name, I am. But it's very, very precious, as if God is saying to Moses, saying to us through David in Psalm 131, I am the present tense God. Whatever it is that you are facing, whatever it is that's making your heart restless this evening, whatever it is that's making you cry out, what is the answer? God says, I am. I will be whatever you need me to be in your circumstances. I am the faithful one. Isn't it significant that this psalm about a quiet heart starts with, O Lord, capital letters. Again, O covenant-making, promise-keeping, faithful God. That's how David starts his prayer. You know, mate, I thought about this week. Maybe if I started my prayers with that, just with that, how would it change me? How would it help and change you? So David is saying, if we want to have a quiet, peaceful heart, we need to look to trust in, to lean on the faithful one. It's not complicated, is it, really? And yet, like you, I know the battle of seeking to do that day by day. Because my heart is constantly telling me that what I need to be at peace is this, or it's that, or if only these circumstances weren't in my life right now, well, then I could be calm. And all the time, God is saying to me, no, what you need is me. I am the faithful one. I am the sufficient one. I am. Every need you encounter, every difficulty you face, my grace will be sufficient. That's who our Lord is. What an amazing promise. What an amazing God. And believing that that's who he is, believing he is sufficient, that is the secret of a quiet heart, clinging to that promise of God's sufficiency. Turn with me to Hebrews for a moment. Hebrews 13, if you have a Bible there with you. Just to share an example of other believers that went through the same learning process to quieten their hearts. Hebrews chapter 13. It's a very appropriate place to go to, really, going from a psalm of ascent, pilgrims on the journey with all the dangers and difficulties, to Hebrews. Who's Hebrews written to? It's written to the people of God who are in danger of turning back, of throwing the towel in, of saying it's too costly, it's too hard following Jesus. And in Hebrews 13, the anxiety they're facing is a very real one for Aberdeen the last couple of years. It's anxiety about money and housing. You see, these Hebrew believers, once they turned to follow Jesus, they had their property confiscated. That was the cost for them. Imagine the anxiety with your family. You're looking to the future and you just lost your home. And their friend writes to them to encourage them. What on earth is he going to say? Hebrews 13, verse 5, bit of a shock what he says. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content, or be quiet, be at peace with what you have. Amazing, isn't it? They've just lost everything. Be content with what you have. Well, how on earth can we do that? How can we do that? 21st century, living in an atmosphere of greed every single day. What's the secret? Well, read on, because the secret is exactly the same as David shares in Psalm 131. It's trusting God. So verse 5, be content with what you have, for God has said, interesting, God said something to you. You need to cling on to what God has said to you. What's God said? God has said, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Beautiful. Can you see the logic? It's as if God is saying, you are being tempted to run after and chase after money and stuff, and you're getting anxious about it when all the time you have me. I am utterly committed to you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. If you have me, you have all that you need. What a helpful insight into how we can battle anxiety, a noisy heart, simply reminding myself who God is and what has he said to me? What has my faithful Heavenly Father said to me? Well, these early believers clinged on to what God spoke to them. They believed it and it changed them. So read just the next verse. God speaks, verse 5, I'll never leave you. Verse 6, so we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Isn't that precious? God's people struggling with anxiety, God speaks a word of promise, they believe it and cling to it with all their hearts, peace comes, confidence comes, we will not be afraid. It's beautiful, isn't it? And David had the same conviction, not just in Psalm 131, Psalm 23, the best known psalm of all. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord is my shepherd. And if that is true, David says, what follows? I shall not want. Because surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Incredible assurance that Old Testament believers like David had. And here we are tonight living the other side of the cross. And in the light of that ultimate sacrifice of the Son of God for you and for me, even more tonight can we be confident, can't we? Because we know that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Paul is saying in Romans 8 there, 32, if God has given the greatest thing, if he's done that for you, well, you know that the stuff you're battling with today, he's not going to hold back from you. He'll give you all things, not everything you want, but all that you need to do and to go through what he's calling you to do and to go through. Bottom line, we can trust him, can't we? Can we trust him? Yes. We can trust him with our family. We can trust him with our finances. We can trust him with the future. Elizabeth Elliot, famous missionary whose husband was martyred by the very tribe in Latin America he was trying to reach with the good news of Jesus, wrote this remarkable words. She's talking about having peace. She said, the secret is not me in a different set of circumstances. It is Christ in me. Remembering who he is and what he's done. The Lord is my shepherd. So there's a secret of a quiet heart. It is trusting God, his faithfulness, and his sufficiency. And the question is, do we believe that? Do we believe his promises? Do we believe really that he is enough for us this week? Well, David did in Psalm 131. He'd learned a precious, priceless lesson. And he wants all of God's people to learn it, doesn't he? So down in verse 3, what does he say? O Israel, O people of God, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. And what will it look like tonight, tomorrow, this week, if we are doing that practically? Well, we'll be praying about everything. Prayer is a very good barometer of where my trust is or where it isn't. If I'm not asking God to help me every moment of the day, for every decision, for every complex situation, to help me, to strengthen me, to provide for me, to give me the wisdom and guidance I need. If I'm not doing that, then what am I saying in effect? I'm saying I don't need that help because I have all it takes, which is ridiculous. He is God. We are not. He is all wise. We are not. He is all powerful. We are not. And he is the one who can transform hopeless situations. We cannot. And the prayer God loves to hear is simply this: Lord, I can't, but you can. So will you come? Will you come and help? That is humility. That's the opposite of a proud heart. That is faith. And God delights to hear and answer that kind of prayer. How did Peter put it in the New Testament? Cast all your cares onto him, for he cares for you. How did Paul put it? Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition present your requests to God. And what follows? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are full of the same resounding message. The secret of a quiet, contented, peaceful heart is to give up on trusting self. Wean yourself off being the center of your universe and constantly run to your God, crying out to him, leaning on him, and believing his word of promise. Just three verses, Psalm 131. Very precious and helpful. David's learnt the lesson. In the midst of pressure. And he longs for all of God's people to have a quiet heart. So he says, O Israel, O brothers and sisters at Hebron, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen? Amen. On a practical note, can I suggest if you're struggling with anxiety at the moment, why not memorize this psalm? Just three verses. It won't take you long to make these words your own. And then you can turn these words over in your mind. Cherish them in your heart when the next thing happens that starts to create that disquiet in your heart. Let me recommend that. Scripture memorization, very, very helpful and powerful. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Let's just take a moment to reflect and respond in the quietness of our hearts. A moment to confess our anxious thoughts, any pride which might be contributing. An opportunity to cry out for God's help and his sufficiency. Father God, thank you that you know us through and through. You know what we're facing this evening. You know what's ahead of us this week. You know the state of our hearts when we walked into the building this evening. And tonight you've spoken words of truth and encouragement to us about who you are, essentially. Thank you that you are our God, our faithful, sufficient God. Forgive us when we take our eyes off you so easily and forget who you are and we start to fret and panic. Thank you for reminding us this evening that you will never leave us nor forsake you. You are enough for the journey. Lord, you come by your Spirit and enable us to believe that. To really believe your promises in a way that would start to make a difference in our hearts and minds. Or would you bring your peace to every anxious heart here this evening? And would you help us to take these lessons into tomorrow? Who knows what you might allow in our lives this week? But here is the answer to peace. Encourage us tonight. Encourage us where we need it in the coming days, we ask. We praise you for a chance to be together as your people, to be fed and encouraged by you. We commit ourselves to you for the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.